everyone. Pastor John Kasbaum here alongside of Tina Carroll. We want to welcome you to today's podcast. You are listening to what we hope to be a long series of podcasts for our First Baptist Church of Elyria families. The aim of our podcast is simple. We want our church families to get to know one another just a little bit better. If you're unfamiliar with our church, you can find out more at firstbaptistelyria.org, or you can email us anytime at info@firstbaptistelyria.org. All right. Well, hello, everyone. We're excited to have you with us today for our very first podcast, as you heard. My name is Pastor John Kasbaum. I'm a pastor here, associate pastor here at First Baptist Church of Elyria. And alongside me today, I have Tina Carroll. Our guest today is none other than Mr. Jeff Kudlow. I have to admit right up front that you are a guy I've really looked up to in my lifetime. So a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to somebody about starting a podcast for our church. I was like, man, it would be really cool to interview Jeff Kudlow for the very first podcast. And we'll get into all the reasons why I think that to be the case. But I was really excited to have you today. So, Tina, before we get too far into interviewing Mr. Kudlow, I wanted to just chat with you for a few minutes. About a week and a half ago, I called Tina and I said, Tina, I got a bright idea. You remember that conversation?
I do remember that conversation. You telling me it was because I was very young that you wanted me here.
Absolutely.
So I get that.
That is the primary reason I wanted some young perspective.
Right.
we do want to talk a little bit just about why exactly we're going to have a podcast, why we're going to have Jeff Kudlow come into the office, sit down with him for 30, 40, 50 minutes or so. We'll see how long he has today. And just ask him a bunch of questions and try to get to know him a little bit better. Tina, I think the first reason we talked about in terms of having a podcast is just we're a pretty big church, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're a large congregation, 600, 700, 800 people. I always tell people if you put everyone in the same room at one time, we'd have over 1,000 people easy. And sometimes in a large church like ours, it's really easy to get lost in the crowd, right? And so I think it'd be really exciting to get to know individuals from our church and just be able to ask them, what's going on in your life? What is God doing in your life? And how's he working? And what are you involved in here at First Baptist Church?
Mm-hmm.
And as well as, I think we don't really have an opportunity within our church to disseminate information on a large scale. So, for instance, if we have a new ministry coming up or we're changing something or we're doing something a little bit differently, apart from a Sunday morning service or a Sunday evening service or a Wednesday night prayer meeting, or a business meeting or something of the sort, there's not really an opportunity for us just to sit down and talk about ideas and what's going on in the church. So I think that's a really cool opportunity.
Right. And to your first point, you know, that's something that we've done at Women's Retreat. Ruth Odell has orchestrated, I think every other year she has different women in our church just give a testimony of God's faithfulness in their lives. And, I mean, these are people we see every Sunday. Some of them I've known for 20 years. And hadn't known anything about, you know, what the struggles that they've gone through and what God's done in their lives. It's been really neat. I hope that that's something the podcast can do, too, is help us to further know people that we're used to seeing every Sunday, but we might just be able to casually say hello to.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to talk to somebody in the church foyer. Hey, how's it going? How's your week? You know,
right.
All the small talk about the weather and how unseasonable our winter's been here in Ohio. But to really get into people's lives and get to know them in a more intimate way is always an encouragement. So
mm-hmm.
Any other reasons you can think of that you're excited about the podcast?
Well, I mean, like you said about, you know, giving out information, we do have like Facebook, and there's actually, I don't know if you guys know this. I'll tell you secrets here.
Oh,
there's
nice.
There's a church women's Facebook.
I do know that. I do know that.
And, you know, and people mostly there share a lot of prayer requests. There's a big prayer support there, but it really helps us to know what's going on in people's lives. And honestly, just to be as part of the body of Christ, like, who do I go to if I have questions about, you know, like for today's topic, if I have questions about foster care, is there anyone in my church that's done foster care through Lorain County? Because that's where we live. You know, just things like that, that we can connect people in this local body of believers and help each other out.
And we got, I mean, we have a lot of exciting things going on at First Baptist Church at all times. I mean, I just got some paperwork on my desk today from one of our evangelistic teams that went out last night, and a lady got saved as a follow-up for our coat drive, you know. And just to be able to tell people about those stories on a big scale would be real exciting. So we're definitely excited to kick off hopefully a long series of podcasts that will be an encouragement to one another in our church. So Jeff.
Yes, John.
Jeff, I'm going to ask you in just a minute to maybe introduce yourself, but I've got just minimal knowledge of who Jeff Kudlow is as a person, just having grown up with your family, a friend of your boys, and I mean, ever since I was a small child, you've been a mainstay here at First Baptist Church. But currently, Jeff is serving as our chairman of the deacons, and so that takes a lot of time and effort on his part, and he's part of all sorts of committees and decision-making processes and things like that. So we appreciate your ministry in leadership. But I'm curious to know, I don't really know the story behind it, but I'm curious to know what brought you to First Baptist. How long have you been here? What brought your family here?
Well, I had to do a little research to find out when we really came here, because I knew you were going to ask me that.
Digging up the history books, yeah?
You got that. But it was January of 1990 that we came here for the very first time.
And, okay.
We're actually members of another local church, and we had a situation in our family where our nephew had came to live with us due to circumstances, and our church that we were in, there really wasn't a youth group or any type of support for family or young men like that, so... Hmm. That's what brought us here originally. So it was a Sunday in 1990, January, and we knew right away after we were here that you know, this would be a great place to be encouragement to raise a family. You know, it's easy for us to see now, you know, God's hand in all that, and you know, Romans 8 talks about, you know, all things work together for the good. During the trials of all that time, we didn't see that, but today we see how God's hand was perfectly bringing us here to First Baptist.
Absolutely. And you've raised, let's see, eight children?
Seven
children? All right. I'm just adding numbers here.
Okay.
Seven children have been part of our church family as well. I don't know. I guess I could probably name them all. Chad,
okay.
Jeffrey,
uh-huh.
Caleb,
right.
Grace, Liz, Matthew, Theo.
You got it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great.
Yep. Can you name all your children?
I sure can.
Tina, how about you? Can you name all your children?
I can, yes.
Let's hear it.
On a good day.
On a good day.
What really gets you is when you know you have a lot of children is when you have to give all their birthdays.
Yeah, I can't do that.
You get the doctor's office, and you're like, wow, I have a lot of kids.
I'm definitely a failure when it comes to the birthday part of it.
So, Jeff, that would have been in, like, the Jeff Nihlas era, right? Were the Nihlases here when
yeah,
you came?
Yeah, Pastor Nihlas was here leading music
and youth
pastors,
group.
Yeah, youth group, right? And Pastor... Dan Simmons was here.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And
Pastor Quick, obviously.
Pastor Quick, senior pastor.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
So I would have been 5 years old, and I was here at the time. My dad obviously was teaching at the Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
And 1990, I would have been 5 years old. So mm-hmm. Jeffrey and I grew up together.
Right. I remember you being in our house at many birthday parties.
Yeah. Aw.
He was a terror.
Yeah.
Did he ruin things at your house?
He's like my son Connor. My son Connor is like I was probably. That's how it went. But so seven children, and you know, one of the things that I've always admired about you is the fact that you have raised seven children so well. You are a guy who's kind of steady and just lovable, and all of your kids really speak really highly of you. You know, I've spent quite a bit of time with a lot of your kids, like I said, over the years, and I've never heard one of them ever, speak frustration or anything like that about their father. They have a lot of love for you, and I've always been encouraged by that.
Hmm. Well, I do appreciate that, John, and we, it's not without its challenges having a big family, as you know, and Tina, as you as well.
Right.
But, First Baptist and the support and friends just have played such a huge role in making that possible. So
absolutely.
That, and obviously, thanks to the Lord. I mean, we have been blessed with those seven children, and my Annette, she's a big part of it. And,
absolutely.
And just last week, we celebrated 36 years of marriage.
Nice.
Wow.
God has
congratulations.
Just blessed us in an amazing way. So thankful for her.
Was
very
there
cool.
A time, though, when, I mean, I almost envy you, like, sitting where you are, your kids, let's see, your youngest is a
he's
senior,
a senior.
Year, right?
You're about to get rid of your last.
We're
right.
About to get an empty house.
I mean, I feel like, I almost envy where you're at because you can see that they're turning out. They're all turning out,
mm-hmm.
And was there ever a time when you were like, Lord, this isn't going well?
Every one of them. So I think there's always a time that raising kids that we found out that, there's a start getting their wings and a little bit of pushback. And,
yeah.
And I tried to share with each of them, we're just trying to have them avoid circumstances that maybe we experience ourselves,
mm-hmm.
from our background. I confidently say that we got through that period with every one of our children, and they are, as you mentioned, are some ministry or serving the Lord. Or,
right.
We're just excited about what they're part of now.
That's sometimes the toughest part of parenting is taking a step back. You mentioned you're trying to warn them of maybe some pitfalls that you fell into yourself, but for some reason children just think they know better, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can do it. I don't need your help. I don't need your guidance. And just relying on the Lord to kind of do what He does.
That's right.
Is sometimes the most difficult part of parenting.
Well, it's an encouragement to those of us who are, still have really young kids, and I don't know, about the time when they're hitting puberty, I think, and you start to see their own character coming out, and, sometimes that's worrisome.
Yeah, that's generally where you'll get to start getting a pushback, so.
Yeah.
For sure, so.
Right.
Jeff, I'm curious to ask you a little bit about your family story. In terms of, we talked about you have seven kids,
mm-hmm.
and maybe some of our listeners don't know this, but you've done fostering and adoption with several of them,
mm-hmm.
and walk us through what kind of pushed you guys to go down that road. You mentioned that in 90 when you joined the church, your nephew was staying with you.
That's correct.
Was that kind of your first introduction to fostering, and maybe that helped push you into it, or what?
Yeah, I think that probably was initially what got us looking in that direction, but really what really was the catalyst for us to look beyond really how we could help was a couple missions trips that I went on here with First Baptist.
Okay.
We went to Ghana for about a month, just a little bit less than a month. Dave Curry was part of that group.
Really?
As far as Bill Reynolds as well. And
I don't remember that.
So we were in Ghana. We worked at a medical clinic. And so getting to see the poverty and the great need, both spiritual and just the poverty of the, really got me thinking outside of ourselves and even our own family. Followed up with that, we went on another mission trip to Ecuador. Cuenca did some more of the similar type of work there. And so that was just kind of building the foundation of there's really a huge need. How can I be part of that? So
right.
We actually come back when we're back in the States shortly thereafter, kind of working out the details. We started looking at fostering, and we met at the with Michael Vanek,
right.
Who was with Children's Services here in the area. And we, at the same time as we were looking at international adoption, it really wasn't open. And Michael just kind of shared with us the need here locally in our community. And I think at the time there was 4,000 kids just in the state of Ohio that needed a home. So,
isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, so all that got us thinking in the way. So that's kind of the foundation of the thinking process. And, you know, we started looking outside of ourselves, you know, in our own family, and really, well, how can we really assist others?
Right. That's funny because I think, you know, we send kids on STEM and things like that, and you never know how God's going to use it. I had the same type of circumstance. I went on a MAP trip with Baptism and Missions when I was 19 to Africa and went to an orphanage there and had pretty much the same thing. God just kind of planted a seed in my heart at the time. You got to do something for the kids, you know,
right,
for these people that are in severe poverty. And, you know, I'm sure you know what we did, foster care through Lorain County, and eventually adopted also. So it's neat to hear that that's also how God started that in your guys.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's worth mentioning why we just mentioned the missions trips as well. Everything in when I went on these trips, I really thought I was going to assist them in building cabinets at, you know, that's what we did.
Okay.
But what I've taken from those trips far exceeded anything that I left there,
right,
you know, in my work. So
yeah, that's normally how that goes.
So, that was really quite an experience for myself. And
Who led those trips?
That was CWE, Christian Worldwide Evangelism.
Okay.
Both those trips.
So you went with groups from other churches.
Yeah.
It wasn't just
right,
exclusively First Baptist of Elyria.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we were with a group of 20 or 30 people.
That's awesome.
Each of those trips. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, the you know, the worldwide need is unbelievable. When you look at the local need, I was just on Lorain County Children's Services website today, and just the hundreds and hundreds of children that are in need in our own community is unbelievable. You know, we recently started Kinship Care, First Wednesday Kinship Care, and that really was born out of need from Lorain County Children's Services. They came to us as a church and said, we need your help, you know, and we basically want you to do a Bible study for Kinship Care families who are in need. For those of you who don't know, Kinship Care is a priority in Lorain County where if a child is taken from their home or can't stay in their home for any reason, the priority in Lorain County is always to place that child with family members, so grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, whatever,
right,
before going into the foster care system. Mm-hmm. And so fostering is one thing. Kinship care is a completely separate thing where these families are trying to take care of their own family members the best they can. And so there's a lot of resources for you guys would know better than I do, but there's a lot of resources out there for foster care families. A lot of support and financial, you know, financial support, things like that, but not a lot for Kinship Care. And so we just wanted to be able to come alongside of these families as best we could.
Sure.
And start a ministry for them. And we've had several families already begin to come to First Wednesdays. And we've met some really cool kids and cool grandparents and aunts and uncles. We had a new family come last night, single lady who was babysitting two kids. And the family came to her and said, listen, we can't take care of the kids anymore. Would you adopt them? And she's like, well, what else am I supposed to do, you know?
Right.
Right.
Sure.
So now she's technically considered Kinship Care as a friend. Mm-hmm. And so we're just trying to come alongside of these families as best we can. So
I think that's something that sets Kinship Care apart, too, and maybe makes it even a little bit more difficult, is these are not, you know, if you go to a foster care class at Lorain, you know, for Lorain County Children's Services, you have thought this out. You're prepared. You're ready. You're
absolutely
saying, I've got a bedroom in my house. I've got all these things lined up. My car can fit these, you know, additional children. I've got beds. Kinship Care is like you just got this child dropped in your lap.
Absolutely.
Now, all of a sudden, you have to rearrange your life for this, and you had no prep. You didn't seek this out, you know. And I think a lot of people are older. They're grandparents,
mm-hmm,
and they're, like, they thought they were going to retire and now they're starting all over again,
yep,
with raising children. So it creates some unique challenges that I think even foster care families might not always face.
Right. Yeah, we just had one of those a couple weeks ago. A lady called me and said, I just had two children dropped off at my doorstep. One was a nephew. The other was a sister of the nephew,
yeah.
But no relation, to this woman for the one girl. And it was just, it's just a mess. I called Lorain County Children's Services. I'm like, I need you to help walk me through this. I don't really know,
sure.
You know, how to help, but.
Right.
So, obviously, you know, we at First Baptist find it, important to take part in these types of ministries. And, you know, one of the things that the Kudlows I've always admired is they have three of their own, right? And
they're all our own.
Well, I yes, absolutely. That's what I mean. Okay. But three biological.
That's correct.
Children.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I got to tell this story.
Okay.
It's pretty funny in my opinion. Theo, the youngest, he's a senior. He's about to graduate and go off to master's, mm-hmm. university. Excited for him for that opportunity. He was over our house a couple of years ago, maybe 2 years ago, and we were just hanging out like we do often. And we were talking about the family, and he was like raving on his parents, how awesome they are and how well he's taken care of at home, you know, all of those things. And somehow we got into this conversation about adoption and how he was adopted. And I was encouraging him that, hey, you have a really awesome opportunity. Your parents take such good care of you. They love you, you know, and really just trying to encourage him.
Right.
And he says, well, that's just what they do. I said, what do you mean? Well, we're all adopted. And I said, what do you mean, Theo? He says, well, me and the other six, we're all adopted. And I said, Theo, what are you talking about? I said, Theo, you realize that Jeffrey and Caleb and Grace are not adopted, like they're biological Kudlows. And he's like, no, what are you talking about? and then all of a sudden I realized, what did I just get myself into? I'm in big trouble. I don't know what to do here.
Oh, man.
But I said, Theo, I hate to break it to you, but those three are Kudlows through and through. Like, just look at their face. Like, you can't tell that they're Kudlows and you're not. And so, no joke, he gets on the phone with Jeffrey,
okay.
the oldest of the Kudlow clan, and he says, Jeffrey, you're adopted, right? And Jeffrey goes, no, Theo, what are you talking about? I could hear him on the other side of the phone, and I'm just like, oh, man, this is not going to go anywhere good. And so then he goes, no, you're kidding me, right? So he hangs up with Jeffrey. He calls Caleb, and he's like, Caleb, you're adopted, right? He's going down the list, you know. So I think I shattered his whole world. But it really just – it impressed upon me the fact that, man, you guys have done it right, done it well.
Well, thanks for that, John. I don't know about that. We have a lot of things as we look back. Maybe we could have done different. But,
sure.
I'm sure. As you had mentioned, the youngest three were all adopted as newborns.
Sure.
And we picked them right up from the nursery, and our names were on the bassinet when we walked in and got them. So it's been an incredible experience, and the blessings that we receive far outweigh any of the cost and
sure.
trials and trouble and issues that we've been through. So it's really has been a blessing.
Sure.
Did you adopt them through Lorain County, or did you do the Baptist Children's Home?
We did Baptist Children's Home, actually, with Theo and Matthew.
Okay.
Baptist Children. Matthew was first, obviously, and then Elizabeth and Theo followed. But Elizabeth was through a little bit different scenario. But
you know, I'm reminded of this passage in James, mm-hmm. right? So in the book of James, it talks about having compassion and love for the fatherless, mm-hmm. and I'm encouraged that's what you've done. You and Annette have sacrificed year after year after year, time after time to love sometimes the fatherless. A beautiful example, really an illustration of God's love for us as children of His, orphans, if you will, having died on the cross to pay the ultimate sacrifice to make us His own.
Yeah. Absolutely, and you know, we're in a sense, it feels argument may have been that we really are all adopted.
Absolutely,
we're all adopted, and you know, that's what we always stressed, that you know, every one of us is an adopt. We have been adopted to, you know,
into the family of God.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. So would you say that you said you came here to church in the 90s, you know, how has attending First Baptist Church helped in the rearing of your children? What is it meant to your family to be part of a church, to worship together on Sundays? Speak to that a little bit.
Well, as I mentioned, what drew us here was a huge need that we've seen in having our two children at the time, Chad and Jeffrey, and the need for some assistance as far as the youth group and those type of activities. So mm-hmm. on that end, every one of our children, you know, having that youth group, and creating relationships that they have still today, even the ones that have moved away, has been just amazing. But beyond that, what didn't draw us here, because we're kind of blinded to our own need for growth as well.
Mm-hmm.
So as a young married couple and just to the maturity that we've been able to and are still working on and the growth that we need and desire in. So that has been a blessing as well for us personally.
What would you say, going back to fostering,
okay,
what would you say was one of the most challenging things that you faced as parents of adopted children?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are other individuals out there that really do care about them as well, and trying to balance that. And sometimes the adoptive parents, grandparents, and in foster care, you know, parents, and especially in a case I think was a challenge when you have a family member.
Sure.
So, and associated with that, you know, being it was my brother and that whole cause, you know, that was the primary reason why we had him. And then he had taken his life and, you know, just dealing through all that and trying to counsel a young person. So that was probably a very unique situation in that case. But, you know, there's always an issue or something to deal with. And then as they get a little bit older, they're, you know, maybe concerned about, you know, why they were adopted and why their parents gave them up for adoption, and having to you know, deal with those questions. And
right.
So those are probably some of the biggest challenges. You know, there's other issues being, you know, having children that are biracial. Two of ours are, you know, dealing with some of the race issues as well through. And, you know, it's just, you know, we live in a time where there's people ask a lot of questions. And but, you know, it gives us an opportunity, too, you know, to share why we have done that and ultimately point back to, you know, Christ. And, you know, that's our obligation, is to take care of these children if we can. So
right.
it's been a real joy for us in spite of all of that.
If you let's say somebody in our church, in our community, is considering fostering or adoption, and they're listening to your story and, you know, obviously hearing all the blessings and just as you shared, even some of the challenges that surround that, you know, how do you encourage them to do it? You know, jump in and do it. You know, even for myself, I have five of my own children with, you know, and we love every one of them. We wrestle with this all the time, though. We're like, hey, do we have room for more? You know,
sure.
And there's a great need. You know, can we be part of that? And so how do you, what would you say to encourage somebody like?
I'd say just do it. you know, it's, as you know, you go through a process of certification, and believe it or not, they do everything they can to kind of scare you away from
that.
They really
do.
They give you every scenario that, you know, could happen. However, you know, there's nothing like, I think, a child, and, you know, taking a child and just giving them a better opportunity. So I don't I don't think you need to have a lot of money to do it. You just have to have the care and time and be willing to love love that child. So we do not regret it one bit. And if we can have been in that scenario on four different occasions through foster or adopting, I think we would have stopped at one. But as Tina knows as well, I mean, there's a great joy in that. And
Tina, what's the current process look like? Obviously, having adopted them, yours through Baptist Children's Home and kind of out of state or whatever, what's the local process look like?
Actually, they've streamlined it even since we were involved, because it's been about 8 years since we were involved with Children's Services, since we had an active license, anyways, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And they've streamlined it now so that you can get your classes done in like 3 weeks. You have, you know, it's condensed, so you got to make clear your schedule, but you can get it done very quickly. And then your home study is probably the thing that takes the longest amount of time, just because there you have to have the fire marshal has to inspect your house. They have to make a couple drop-in visits. They do things.
Just to make sure your dishes are done? Or?
Well, no, I mean, they do things, you know, they make sure you've got plug covers and you've got gates on your stairs or doorways, that your water's not too hot. I mean, different things like that. But then they just, they do go through a pretty intensive interview process with you and your spouse, and then they'll briefly talk to each one of your children just, you know, to make sure no one's like, I hate other children or something like that, you know, something bizarre,
yeah.
To try to vet, you know, to try to vet people. But, and then, you know, you do a background check and all of that, of course. But it's honestly, the process is not super difficult. I mean, it's they really are trying to make it, you know, for lack of a better term, user friendly for people so that they can go through it, because the need is so great.
Right. Yeah. You know, going back to kind of our church and the history we've had, I can think of probably a dozen or so people from our church who have adopted and or fostered over the years.
Yeah.
Within our church. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they are currently, I believe they're currently fostering and or have just recently adopted from Lorain County. And they were saying that some of the leadership within the, within Children's Services in Lorain County were talking over the summer about some of the churches in our area and who's sending people who are fostering and adopting in Lorain County. And they specifically mentioned First Baptist Church of Elyria and another larger church in our area, and how we used to be such a big part of Lorain County Children's Services, how we used to send people to adopt and to foster, but that has come to an end, they think. And so we used to have this reputation even within the community that we genuinely care and we want to help and we want to do all these things, but it seems as though they believe, at least, that we don't have that much interest any longer. And maybe that's, we have somewhat of an aging congregation, you know, but now we have, you know, lots of young families in our church now, and
Right. There's
opportunity for us. And there are some that are getting involved in this foster care and adoption scene, but I think we can do more. And I think, you know, even starting this kinship care ministry has helped kind of reestablish that reputation within the community that we genuinely care, and we have people that want to reach out and help.
Right, for sure. And I think, I mean, if I were talking, you know, I think the thing I hear most people say when they say I could never do foster care is, what if I get attached and then they take the child? You know, that's something that almost everybody says. What if I just don't think I could do it? I just don't think I could get attached to a baby and then they take the baby, you know, and I mean, yeah, right. That's
sure.
Something that definitely
that is, a concern, yeah.
is a possibility. Yeah. But something that, you know, Nick and I, and probably you and Annette, you can speak to that, but we had prayed about it, and so we were pretty settled. Like, whatever God has for us, we're ready. You know, he's going to take us through. It could be something super difficult. It might not be, we don't know, but we were ready. I mean, when we got the call, every time we got a call to take a child, they'd say, would you need to talk to your husband? And I'm like, no, I don't.
Nope, we're ready to go.
We've already had that conversation. We're good to go. You know, even the call that we got for our son that we ended up adopting, they said, you know, do you need to talk to your husband? I said, no, I don't. Nope, we're ready. We've talked about this. We're good to go. You know, and
so you guys adopted one, right?
Right.
How many did you foster prior to that?
Three.
Okay.
And we did our very first placement was a baby. He was 3 months old and he only weighed 4 pounds.
Wow.
He was failure to thrive. And his mom really was just, you know, maturity wise, unable to care for him.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first one. And when, you know, you had your nephew first, Jeff, but
right.
with your first foster placement, like you just go in and you're just like, this is my child.
Right.
And, you know, you're,
right. exactly.
you have no protection up for your own heart. Like you are just all in. And I mean, I really was like, this is my son,
yeah.
you know, and I'll never forget getting the call about, we'd had him about 6 weeks and he was failure to thrive. So they said, you need to touch him constantly. You need to wake him up and feed him. So I was just constantly physically and emotionally connected to this baby.
Right.
And I remember sitting on the beach with him out at Mommy Bay when I got a call from Children's Services saying we found his grandmother who never even knew he existed, and she wants him.
Wow.
And I just felt like someone had punched me in the
sure.
chest. Like,
wow.
I was like, what? He's my child, you know, and it was terribly difficult, but God was so gracious in that she was an amazing woman. She was a nurse.
Sure.
She worked right here at EMH, totally equipped. He ended up having fetal alcohol syndrome and would need some special care. She loved him. She was so excited, and she sent us cards several years after that just saying, thank you for what you did for my grandson, because by the time he left us, he weighed 9 pounds.
Wow.
In 6 weeks. He had gained that much weight. And, you know, it ended up being a huge blessing to us. Was it a hurt? Yes, it did.
Right.
You know, but we were able to do for him what he needed at the time that he needed it. And we had that settled with God that if that's whatever God needs us to do, even if it's just for a portion of time, we know that while that child was with us, they were cared for, they were loved. You know, they were at church, and really God will work all the details out. If he calls you, he's going to equip you.
That takes a special type of person too, to have that long-term faith that, all right, God's got this
yeah.
under control. Yeah. We're going to go ahead and take one. And then, hey, if it's 6 months, if it's 9 months, if it's a year, if it's 10 years, we just got to trust God to.
Well, and I should say, I've had some experience with Cuyahoga County. Lorain County, from my experience, is a really top-notch children's services. And they have they strictly adhere to a one-year placement policy. So as soon as a child is taken from the home, they do everything in their power to have them permanently placed in 1 year.
Wow.
Cuyahoga County, from the things that I've heard from friends that are in Cuyahoga County system, is not quite the same. You could end up having someone for 2 years and then they end up leaving you. So I really appreciated that about Lorain County.
Sure.
They were very committed to getting, you know, those children placed within a year so that they weren't just strung through home after home after home.
What's the longest you cared for?
Other than obviously our son, we
yeah.
adopted
yeah.
6 weeks.
6 weeks. Okay. So tell me, walk me through the process of even adopting your son, because he was a placement, a foster care placement to begin
right.
with, but then you ended up adopting him. So what was the difference between adopting him and not adopting the other three?
Well, he was actually, he had been taken at birth.
Okay.
And placed with another foster family. But that foster family was having marriage issues.
Okay.
And so they felt that it would be better for their marriage if they weren't also dealing with, you know, all of that with fostering and everything. So we had heard about him a couple months before we got him. Our worker was also his family's worker. And she said, I have a family that's struggling, and this little boy I think would do super well in your house. Mm. And if it comes to that, I'm going to call you guys. So we knew he existed, but then hadn't heard anything. And it was actually the week of Christmas that we got a phone call. We were supposed to go to a Steve Green concert that night. We were taking my mom and Al to Steve Green for their Christmas present, and they called and said, we only need you to take him for this weekend for respite care, and then on Wednesday he will come back to you permanently. And I said, okay. He's 13 months old.
Wow.
And it was funny, Jeff, because you were talking about racial issues. We thought he was black. We were told he's African American, and I was super excited because I've always wanted an African American child. And they're so cute. And we show up to pick him up, and these three little white children are running around, and I'm like, where is he? And they're like, here he is. So, you know, the African American was not strong, I guess, in his looks, but
sure.
But yeah, after that, we were also told that he wasn't walking. And he actually stayed with my sister that evening so we could still go to the concert. And I got back and she said, he walks.
He walks.
He's walking just fine.
Wow.
Like, okay.
He walks. As a matter of fact, he's halfway down the street right now.
Right.
You guys probably should have told us that.
But, and in that situation, I mean, Children's Services said this never happens. You never get handed a child where we already have full custody. He's ready to be adopted. No visitation.
Yeah.
But it did happen. And I think it happened because God knew that's what we could handle at the time.
Hmm.
And so that's what he made happen. And that's, you know, that's what God will do. If he calls you to it, he'll equip you to do it and, you know, or give you the strength to get through.
Sure. Jeff, what was the impact on your family? So with the other children, already in the home, you know, when you adopted, let's say, you know, the last three, is there significant impact on the family dynamic? How do the other kids handle it? I would ask you the same thing, Tina. How are the other kids handling foster care and adoption?
Well, we talked about adoption a lot. It wasn't a surprise to them that we were bringing a baby home.
Sure.
They were anticipating. They were excited about it. There was no pushback. I mean, there was never anyone that didn't want to be part of that.
Sure.
And they all have today great relationships.
So, yeah.
There was never an issue. So I think they're very welcoming to that.
I mean, common issues. Like I can imagine if we brought home a child today. Imagine my children. We bring home a kid. Like. I'm not sharing my toys with you. You're not even, you know, you kind of would expect it from children somewhat, but
I would expect if you were to adopt, you would be talking about it a while.
Yeah.
That excitement would be in the home and they would be anticipating that. I think you'd share.
What a cool ministry to have like the entire family to be part of, you know, to teach children right from a very young age. Like this is about more than just us and our family and our comfortable, you know, lifestyles, you know, we need to be thinking outside of ourselves.
Right.
And so we met with Mike and Sherry. Mike was still with children. I think Mike was still with Children's Services at the time. Maybe not. I can't remember. But we met with them before we ever did anything,
mm-hmm.
before we ever went to Children's Services and just said, you know, we have a heart for this. What do we do? And what should we expect? You know, what are some pitfalls, things like that. And Mike strongly encouraged us to bring a child in under our own children's ages.
Okay.
So in that way, I felt, and you guys did the same, except for your nephew, you guys did the same thing. And I feel like it really wasn't any different than it would have been when you just have a baby.
Right. Sure.
You know, I mean, our son was, he was 13 months old. So that was a little different because he wasn't a baby. So he was like getting into toys and other things, but I feel like the family dynamic is that.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's pretty much, you know, it was just like bringing a baby home.
Mm.
And it was, we brought a baby home from the hospital. So,
right.
you guys went, with the exception of the kinship care of your oldest, you guys pretty much went straight adoption on the others. Did you ever foster beyond that?
We did for just a short period, and then that just didn't work out.
Sure.
You know? It was just a short period of time. Recently, we have actually went through the licensing process again.
Yeah.
As we're looking, you know, in Huron County. So,
I'll tell you, Tina. So, you know, looking up to this guy, he's about to retire after a long career, right?
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's a lot like me. When I go on vacation, I get in a lot of trouble. I do stupid things. I get bored and I'm like, hey, I'll buy a boat or I'll remodel the bathroom and it doesn't get done for another 9 years. You know, I take on a lot of things when I'm sitting on the couch, like, hey, I could do something different. So he's about to retire and I get a letter in the mail, like probably a year and a half ago from Children's Services. And it says, you know, for Jeff and Annette Kudlow to start fostering. And I opened the letter and I looked at my wife. I said, Amber, you're not going to believe this. Like, these guys are putting us to shame. Jeff and Annette have just gotten through their last of seven children, and they're gluttons for punishment, I guess. They want more. So,
yeah, we'll see where the Lord's going to lead. But
So you're officially through the process, and
We're working through it.
Okay.
So.
Well,
that's awesome.
We're currently fostering one. He's a college student.
Really?
And, hey, it counts.
Where you're going to go.
It counts, I guess, right?
Write him off on your taxes.
You can't make your foster children do home improvement.
That's right. That's right. You can't mow the lawn. It doesn't work.
Well, we do have one that we're taking care of right now, but we have often thought that, you know, we have an extra bedroom, and we're ready to dive in at some point. But, man. I can't keep up with you, that's for sure.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Sure you can.
Oh, man. So, back to that retirement.
Okay.
How excited are you to retire?
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, tell everyone, how long have you worked for the FAA?
31 years.
30?
This January.
One years. Wow. What a career, man.
When is retirement?
In March. So, March
31st
is my last day. I'm looking forward to
what is that?
6 weeks.
Six weeks.
So
2 days.
That's right.
17 hours, 34 minutes, 16 seconds.
Yeah.
Ready for retirement.
That's right.
It's
been a great opportunity, a great career. You know, the Lord has used it really to do the things we've been talking about. So and I'm sure he's got something plan for us as well. We're just looking for his direction as we move on from this. And
sure.
Looking forward to having a weekend off. So,
how long have you been working weekends? 31 years?
31 years.
31 years of weekends.
Work all duties here in ministry here at church and then run to work for the afternoon. So
that is
looking forward to that, not having a day of rest on Sunday. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. So 31 years, what would you say was the coolest thing about your job at the FAA? Or was there not anything cool about it?
There was some cool stuff about it, but it's like playing a video game every day.
Yeah.
But, prior to 9/11, we were able to – we still could fly. When we fly on the airlines, we fly in the cockpit of the airplane, so we got to fly up front there. So it was a lot easier to use. So just popping around the country on a free flight, showing up at the airport, showing your ID, getting that was pretty cool.
Very
cool.
That's
changed. You still can do it. It's much more restrictive now.
Yeah.
You know, being the cockpits are all locked down for security. But,
right.
Sure.
So that was cool.
Where'd you go? Did you go anywhere? Like,
yeah, if someone else was on vacation in our family, you know, I'd just like pop in.
I'm here.
Just pop in somewhere. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
Where all did you go?
When I went to Africa, I actually rode the jump seat over to Europe.
Really?
And so while the rest of the workers were in the back, coach, you know, I was up hanging out with the pilots with first class. So I was pretty excited about that. So
the jump seat's not actually that uncomfortable?
On some of the airplanes, it's very uncomfortable.
Okay, I was gonna say you want to. That's a long flight to be sitting in the jump seat.
On the Airbuses, it was pretty nice. Mr. Finke could probably tell us about that. But some of the jump seats are quite roomy. others are not. So.
Very cool. Well, I know we have we actually have several guys in our church that have that work with you at the FAA, and some have gone, come and gone over the years, and that's got to be a pretty neat opportunity to work with people from church.
It is. It is a neat opportunity to have other people you worship with work there. So
that's really cool.
I thought you were going to say one of the perks was the naps.
The naps.
The naps.
You guys get naps?
I always pick on Ben Fuller about that.
You don't have to ask Ben Fuller. So I'm gonna, let me text him right now to get him in this hot seat. So.
The schedule's pretty interesting. They work for off.
I don't know what those guys
are doing. I'm not going to incriminate anyone on the podcast, in case, but I know he enjoys his work.
Sure,
he's
doing
a
great job at it.
So what's retirement going to look like for you?
Well, I'm going back to school in the fall.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Where at?
I'm going back to Piedmont to finish up.
Okay.
Master's of Ministry, so.
Nice. Going to seminary.
Yeah.
So it's never too late, folks.
Yeah, it's never too late. A little guy like me could do it, so.
That is awesome.
So I'm looking forward to getting that completed, and who knows?
Well, we look forward to getting you in the pulpit more often than.
I don't know about that.
You should know about that.
What do you see? Why did you ever start a master's at Piedmont? Like, what was your.
Well, I actually started at Ashland Seminary, and I only made it 1 year. It was just too difficult with all the kids and the family and writing papers.
You don't say. You don't say.
About that. It was a little bit more challenged than I should have taken on. So,
sure.
So just basically going to finish up there at Piedmont and get that taken care of. So
that's awesome.
We'll see where what God
see where the Lord leads, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Exciting.
That's right.
So, and you you talked about flying. Mm-hmm. Maybe not everyone in our church realizes this, but I got to brag on you a little bit. This guy built an airplane in his garage. How long did it take you to build an airplane?
Well, it was supposed to only take 3,000 hours.
Well, that's how it always goes.
3,000 hours, but it took me 9 years to put it together.
Nine years. So let's put this into perspective a little bit.
Okay.
It took you 9 years to build an airplane. It took me about 9 years to remodel a bathroom. I'm not even joking. In our old house, I started remodeling this bathroom. My wife says, when are you going to get it done? Oh, I'll get it done. Don't worry. I'll get it done. You know how that goes.
Sure.
I finally finished that bathroom. It was a couple of years in the making. I finally finished it, and I call her one night. She's at work, and I said, hey, I'm going to gut the other bathrooms to get started on that remodel. She said, no, you are not. I'm like, why not? She's like, you're never going to finish it. So, of course, I took a sledgehammer, started demolishing that bathroom. Of course I did it anyways. And in the time that I remodeled two bathrooms, you built an airplane.
Yeah.
And
Jeff wins.
I don't know about that.
In more than one way. This is dad of the century,
oh, no.
I think.
Appreciate that.
But we're... I actually got to fly with him, Tina.
Wow.
Yeah. He took me up for a lunch one day out to, where'd we go? I don't remember.
I think we went to Port Clinton.
Port Clinton, out to some diner. And he says, he's explaining to me, hey, this is this, and this is that, and this is how you get this thing to do this thing and that thing. I mean, he's speaking a different language to me. And put this headset on, and we're talking to each other. And I'm, like, feeling real good about this. I don't like heights, but I trust this guy with my life, obviously. So I'm sitting next to him in the cockpit, and we go to take off, and he goes, now, did you listen to what I said, basically, on the ground? I said, well, yeah, why? Well, because you're about to fly the airplane. I said, absolutely not, I'm about to fly this airplane. I said, you're going to have to repeat what you said on the ground, because I don't know that
I wasn't really listening.
I wasn't listening to be able to apply it, that's for sure.
But you did a great job flying.
Man, that was fun.
Yeah.
Once in a lifetime experience. It was around my birthday, and I was like, this is the greatest day of my life.
That's cool.
Well, we got Pastor Odo in there as well. But
I cannot believe you fit that guy
next
to you.
That cockpit was built for a 6'4 guy, not a 6'7 or whatever.
He's 6'6, isn't he?
Yeah, he had a little trouble getting in. But I jammed him in there. And
hope you put a little extra fuel in there.
Yeah,
He kept the canopy open, you know. I can't close the canopy, but
it's like Fred Flintstone.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you fly out of Lorraine, the airport?
Actually, out
over
of
in Portland,
it's Erie County.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Well, the best of luck to you. Lord bless you in your retirement.
Appreciate appreciate that.
We're excited to see you around here more often. Not you're here all the time. I mean, every time the doors are open, there's Kudlow's here. But you know, we'll get you busy. We'll get you. You know,
I'm sure you will.
Sounds like you're going to be pretty busy, anyways.
Yeah, well, he always is.
I'm getting my tool vest out now, so
the tool vest, yeah.
That's right.
Well, you are a master carpenter.
I hear they're building a church somewhere, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Building a church. Yeah, we're about to head into
the renovation
of the gymnasium. Man, we're excited. So I think I could say this on the podcast. Pastor Odell mentioned it already, but 97.5% yes for moving forward with the Ministry Activity Center. We're excited about what the Lord's doing in 2020 here at First Baptist. So we'll see.
We're going to have like a groundbreaking.
We talked about it.
Wall breaking.
Something. I don't know all the details.
We should have more of those details this weekend, I think.
Right? Yeah, I think the building committee started meeting and making plans. BCP is ready to go. They said, hey, we can get an excavator in and start moving dirt and all this other stuff.
Wow.
I mean, they're ready to roll. So we're excited about what the Lord's doing through his people here at the church. So just wanted to, real quick, before we wrap up, Tina, do you have anything else that you wanted to touch base on? I think we've kept Mr. Kudlow here captive long enough. Are you glad you did it?
I'm glad Kudlow? I did it. I appreciate you guys doing this, and I think it would be a great opportunity to learn about people, other people in our church.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See what the Lord's doing in people's lives. And maybe, hey, who knows, maybe we inspire the next generation to begin to foster and adopt and take action. I mean, that's what this is all about, right? So in the book of James, like I mentioned before, it's talking all about being doers of the word, not hearers only. We got to really begin to practice our faith in tangible ways. And so I'm just excited to see what God's doing.
You know, I would say this, John.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, just to encourage anyone, I know Jeff and Annette are happy to talk about, you know, foster care, adoption. Nick and I are happy to talk about it. It's one of my favorite things to talk about, honestly.
Sure.
Like, you know, Fullers would be happy to talk about it. Lears have adopted. I mean, there are so many people in our church who've adopted. And, you know, and especially if they're looking specifically at Lorain County, there are a lot of us who've adopted or done foster care through Lorain County. You know, just talk to somebody.
Yeah.
There's so much, you know, it seems like there's so much mystery, but if you just start talking, getting information, and also Lorain County does information sessions all the time where there's no commitment. You don't have to, you just shoot them an email and say, I'm showing up.
Yeah.
And they just give you information. That's all it is. And then you can, you know, pray about it from there, make an informed decision from there.
Mm.
If you're like, I've always thought about that, but, you know, I never pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
Just go to an information.
And you both probably would agree with this. What better place to get involved in this type of ministry than in a local church?
Oh, yeah.
With a body of believers surrounding you. What a support system.
Mm-hmm.
When I was on the website today, they were talking about all these kids who need adopted. And every one of them said you need to have a large network of help to be able to do this. And that's built in.
That's right.
Right here at First Baptist Church. And
that's part of your membership. It's included, right?
Absolutely. You have to be available for respite care for those fostering and adopting. So just real quick, for those listening, just wanted to touch base with what's coming up at First Baptist Church of Elyria. Coming up next month, March 20th and 21st, we have our marriage retreat. I know Carol's are signed up. We're signed up. Casbones are signed up.
Kudlow's signed up.
We'll be signed up.
Go.
He's in the hot seat.
Yeah, he's like, well, I guess I have to sign up for the marriage retreat now. Hey, if you don't want to go, you don't have to go. But we have.
We've got it all figured out, John. They don't need a marriage retreat.
They need to teach the marriage retreat, probably.
Yeah, we need the retreat part.
Yes, exactly. Well, we have, I think there's probably 15 slots left. So if you're looking to sign up, go ahead and do that at firstbaptistelyria.org. And then also we have our Man Up conference coming up here in just a couple of weeks. You can sign up and join us for that. And then the youth group, our Greenhouse Youth Group, has a winter retreat coming up. So if you have teens or you are a teen and you want to go to the winter retreat, sign up online at greenhouseyouth.com. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for being alongside me, Tina.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you again and doing this again next month. We got to figure out who we're going to bring in next. And interview.
You should let the person that's in the hot seat.
Okay, that's a great idea. Well, give me a nomination, And then we'll see what we can do.
Okay.
All right. You don't have to do it on air, but you can if you want to.
I will. As soon as we're off air, I'll tell you.
Okay. Give me a nomination, and we'll see what we can do. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you again soon.